Do please sit down. Our children's activity today is over there. So if the children would like to make their way to the mat, there is an activity where John is waving for you to do during the sermon. There was a boy who had a girlfriend, and he said to her, "I love you so much, I could never live without you." She said, "Is that you or the beer talking?" He replied, "It's me talking to the beer." What's the difference between love and marriage? Love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. Some of my wedding jokes that you don't usually get to hear. I wonder what you think when you hear the word love. What do you think love means? I might say, "I love you," to Jess on our anniversary last week. Thank you for our card, by the way, it's lovely. I might say, "I love pizza." I might say, "I love my mum and I love my computer," sometimes. But not in the same way. What do you think when you hear the word love? Today we have the Old Testament law telling the people of Israel to love God alone. To love God who is their only God. To love God who is one God, who is unique and stands alone. Centuries later, Jesus himself quoted that commandment and called it the first and the greatest commandment. Some of you may know that C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, among other things, wrote a book called The Four Loves. Anyone heard of that book? Ray's heard of that book. Good, excellent. My sermon won't be boring then. It's become a classic. It's inspired countless wedding sermons since C.S. Lewis wrote it 60 or 70 years ago. Because he writes that the ancient Greeks, remember that the New Testament is written in ancient Greek, had four words for love. Don't know if you knew that. Four different words for love. Storge, philia, eros, and agape. You probably have heard of agape. The first is storge, which means affection or enjoyment. This is the sort of love we might have for pizza or a nice glass of wine or our favourite football team or some shopping or whatever it is that you love to do. It's that enjoyment that we get from doing things that we love. It can be enjoying people's company as well. And it's often used to describe family relationships. The negative side of this source of love is that it can become quite selfish, because it's about stuff that I like. It can become hoarding something, keeping it to ourselves, because we like it so much. The second is philia, which is friendship or common interest. We get words like francophile. If you like French stuff, you are a francophile, a French lover. It is a sort of community love, love that is shared of a sort of an object or a thing. So we might call it companionship. It's the sort of love that happens quite naturally when we discover shared interests. I don't know about you, but I sometimes find it quite hard to get to know people beyond that sort of surface, "Hi, how are you?" What helps is doing something with them that we both enjoy. Suddenly you find you get to know them in a whole new way. This is philia, friendship, or common interest love. The third is eros, from which we get our word erotic. Lewis says this is the hottest of the fires of our emotions. A wonderful light or a scorching fire. It is uncontrollable at times. It focuses like a laser beam on a single person, on an object. Its aim isn't happiness, but on the object of the love. Lewis says that we might call it being in love. He describes it as the explosion that starts the engine of love. But what keeps it going is something else. So those three loves are, if you like, the earthly loves. that most of the time they come quite naturally to us because they're tied to our emotions, to things that we enjoy, to things that we see, to things that we can hold and have. They're tied to our reactions to other people. There's nothing wrong with them. But to quote St. Paul, there is a more excellent way. The fourth love is, of course, agape. Lewis describes this as the highest, the most unselfish of all the loves. And we get a glimpse of this love in the way we might love a spouse or our children. But even there, it pales in comparison with the love God has for us, with the agape God has for us. This love loves the unlovable. It loves the undeserving. It loves the ugly. Sometimes in our lives we can feel some of those things, undeserving, unlovable, or ugly. But God, with agape, still loves you. You'll hear me quote this hymn so many times. It's one of my favourite hymns. My song is love unknown, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. We aren't lovely first. We are made lovely by God loving us. This is agape love. And it is love that takes big risks, that gives everything. Let me read something from The Four Loves. This is what C.S. Lewis says. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, this is with agape love, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies, little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, and airless, it will change. It won't be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. If you want any further proof of that, think of Jesus. He showed God's love for us by becoming human, submitting himself to our greed and pride and selfishness. He showed God's love for us by giving everything away, even his life, for you. For you. That is love. The words trip off the tongue, don't they? Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. They trip off the tongue, but we forget what they mean. The depth of that love for you. This is the love God has. This is agape. This is the highest and greatest expression of love. And it means sacrifice. It means vulnerability. It means risk. It means wholehearted, holding nothing back love. It is how God has loved and will always love us. And it is how we are commanded to love him back. What's the difference between a jellyfish and a lawyer? One is a spineless, poisonous blob. The other lives in the sea. Where's my mouse? Didn't see that one coming. Sorry if you're a lawyer. How does a lawyer sleep? First he lies on one side, then he lies on the other side. How can you tell a lawyer is lying? His lips are moving. Everyone loves a good lawyer joke, don't they? I'm not sure who lawyers make jokes about. Does anyone know? I imagine they make the same jokes about other people, but who knows? Jesus had a number of debates with lawyers. And the reading we had today from Matthew is one of them. They were trying to catch him out. They wanted to arrest him because they hated him. Because when they talked about the law, people fell asleep. When Jesus talked about the law, people got excited. And they hated it. And they hated him. So they were trying to find an excuse to arrest him so they could kill him. And so, in this Matthew 22, they ask him a series of questions designed to catch him out. They ask him about tax. They ask him about religious arguments like resurrection. They ask him about the Messiah and who the Messiah is, trying to get him in trouble with the Romans. And here they ask him, one of the lawyers says, what is the greatest commandment? Not quite sure how they were hoping to trap him, but they didn't succeed. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If microphones had existed in those days, he'd have dropped it. If you're not sure what a mic drop is, ask your grandchildren. They'll explain. Given how dead that one went, I think none of you... cultural reference that's gone cold. Never mind. Jesus didn't make this up. Sometimes we act as if Jesus pronounced this from nowhere, as if it's Jesus' teaching. It's the law. It's the Old Testament that says this. Jesus is quoting directly from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19. That's where they come from. We're going to come back to the second commandment later. During August, we're looking at love. And so we're going to look at love your neighbour as yourself in a week or two. Today, our focus is the first and the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, Jesus says. Can you guess which Greek word for love Matthew uses here? Agape. It's not storge. It's not philia. It's not eros. It is agape. Quoting the law, Jesus says that the first and greatest commandment is to agape God with our whole selves. Friends, you are not a soul trapped in a body. That's not what you are. Sometimes people talk as if we are trapped, we're in cages or something, and some songs and hymns that we sing say that. It's not true. You are a person made up of a body, a mind, a soul, a heart that's made up of strength. You are a whole person. So when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind and your strength, what he means is love God with all of yourself. Everything you are and have, love God with that. Don't just love him with this little bit of yourself or that little bit of your week. Love God with all of yourself. And it's not that that's all there is to do. Jesus doesn't say all the law and the prophets boil down to this. He says all the law and the prophets hang on this. In other words, this is the first and the greatest of many commandments. This isn't a Beatles song, as if all you need is love. This is what is first. And this is what gives meaning to the rest of the law. That's what Jesus is saying here. You see, without love, the law is just religion. And there's nothing wrong with religion, really, unless that's all there is. That's when it becomes a problem. When all we're doing is religion. Because religion has no love for God. Religion has love for law. Just like the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers trying to catch Jesus out. They loved the law. They didn't love God. That's why Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment is love God. There's nothing wrong with religion as long as it's an expression of a relationship. Of the love that we have for God, for one another, and the world. People often go on about how bad organized religion is. Well, the problem is people need organizing. We're like herding cats. It's really difficult. We need organization. But what we need most important of all is love. Love of God and of our neighbor. And so we come to land on the word I think we often rush over when we quote these words of Jesus. We like to focus on love, on the agape, loving God, ignoring the fact that this is a commandment. It's not an invitation. It's a command from our God, from our Lord. You see, unlike the other loves, which come quite naturally to us, agape takes effort. It takes energy and it takes commitment. Those of you who've been married for many years know the energy, commitment and effort it takes to stay married. It is hard work. Love, agape, takes effort. It doesn't simply happen. If it did, Jesus would not have had to command us to do it. So I suppose the question for us is this. Do we love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength? What do we hold back? Is it our money, our time, our thoughts, our energy? What do we hold back? Another way of asking the same question is this. What in our lives do we love first before we love God? Family? Does family come first? Or does God come first? Possessions? Would we rather have our stuff than God? Going on holiday? That's one that's difficult for me. I love going on holiday. And sometimes that consumes so much of me that I let God sort of fill the background a bit. Because friends, God's love means being vulnerable. It means being open. It means putting God first. It means putting those other things which are good and right and important, it means putting them second. And that's really hard. But it's what we are commanded to do. The first commandment is this. Love the Lord your God. This is the first and greatest commandment. Is that how we love God? Something for you to ponder this week. Amen.